Welcome to Timeless Truths. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario, and features the preaching and teaching of Pastor Jerry Burns. Our prayer, as always, is that this program will be a blessing to you and that you will find God's hope and help for your life. So join us now as we discover God in His timeless truths.
Be a light on a hill, leading souls now astray to the straight, narrow way. Help me do some good deed while I live. Let my life be a light shining out through the night. May I help struggling ones to the fold, spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul.
Give me wisdom and power every day, every hour. Let me drink from the fountain above. Guide my footsteps aright through the dark, stormy night. Give me peace, give me joy, give me love.
Give me souls for my hire, let my life be on fire, shining out to the world as a guide. Help me rescue someone sinking now with no hope, that in heaven we shall ever abide.
Let my
life be a light shining out through the night. May I help struggling ones to the fold, spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul, spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles together and let's turn to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, and we are going to be in chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We've been studying through this wonderful book together, and there's so much for us to learn. Really, we could spend years looking at each verse and what it means for our life. Last week, we looked at prayer, public prayer, and we looked at, first of all, that prayers are to be made for all men, and this means that every distinction of rank, every country, every name, those that we know and love and those that we know and don't like, we are to pray for. And then Paul makes it clear for kings. And in other words, he meant for Nero. And Nero was oppressing the Christians. And this was a big deal for these believers. The very word Nero would strike terror and oppression in the hearts of God's people. And yet what Paul is saying is pray for him. He is the king. And keep him in prayer. Pray for Justin Trudeau. I said pray for Justin, that Justin Trudeau would come to the knowledge of the truth. That he would be saved. And, you know, people say, well, what we need is Justin Trudeau not to be prime minister. No, what we need is Justin Trudeau to be saved. Amen. To be have a born-again believer as prime minister would be a great blessing. So pray for salvation. And then he said, for supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Supplications is specific things we ask God for. Prayers are really our awareness of God's working in our life and our personal devotion. Really just a generalized look at our prayers to the Lord. Intercessions is coming to God on behalf of someone else. We pray for our missionaries. Really our time together has much to do with intercessions. And in giving of thanks is a time where we express gratitude to God for what he has done in our life. And remember, intercessions, prayers, giving of thanks, they are to be made for all men. And that speaks of the King. That speaks of Justin Trudeau. So we are to thank God for Justin Trudeau. Brother Fernho, after hearing the message last Wednesday, decided God worked in his heart and decided that he was going to send a Christmas card to all of the members of Parliament. And what a wonderful blessing to do that. And you know, really, we all should be doing that. Tell them you're praying for them. Tell them that God laid them upon your heart. And so the Bible says that we are to be people of prayer. And not only are we to pray within the confines of the local church, the assembly, or public prayer, but also we are to pray everywhere. The Bible teaches us that we are to be a people of prayer, and we are to pray without ceasing, the Bible teaches us. And the reason why God teaches us that we are to pray for all men is, the Bible says in verse 4, because God wants everyone to be saved. It says right in our text, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge here means to discern or to acknowledge the truth. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the truth. In verse number 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so we are to mediate by bringing people to the great mediator, the Lord Jesus. Verse 6 teaches us that he gave himself a ransom. This speaks of redemption for all. He gave himself so that men can be redeemed. He died for every man. He took the place of everyone on Calvary. He died for us. He died as us on Calvary, the Bible teaches us. And this was Paul's ministry, verse 6, the revelation of the gospel to be testified in due time. This was Paul's ministry in sharing the word of God and the revelation that God had given to him. And we have in our Bibles a more sure word of prophecy. We have God's revealed truth in our hands. And so the Bible teaches us that we ought to be a people of prayer. It says lifting up holy hands, which is a common attitude in prayer. And I gave some scriptures, Psalm 68, verse 31. The Bible teaches us, stretch out thy hand unto God. Exodus chapter 9, verse 29 speaks of spreading my hands unto the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22, spread forth thy hands toward heaven. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 12, spread forth his hands, the Bible says, and they are to be holy hands. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, the hymn writer said. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So here we have the emphasis on holy. We are, I believe, Psalm 24 is in the heart of the Paul as he pens. We talk about holy hands. The psalmist said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And so the Bible teaches us that we are to lift up holy hands without wrath and disputing, wrath and doubting. Now, first of all, the word wrath means these intermingling of evil passions. So we are to come before God in a calm and peaceful heart. No anger toward each other. By the way, I think it's important for us to understand that a right relationship with God rights all relationships. Jesus made it clear, if you have aught against your brother, then leave your gift and go get right with your brother. God is concerned about our relationship with each other. And within the context of the local church, there are not to be, in the environment of prayer, it's not to be done in the environment of wrath and doubting. You know, we talk about doubting being the lack of faith, but also throughout the Bible, the word doubting also has the idea of disputing or reasoning or debate. And when we think of Ephesus at this particular time, young Timothy, who is the pastor, there because of the false teachers, there's toil within the church. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. And so here we have that we are not to approach God in prayer in the midst of a clamorous disputing or angry contentions. And so the Bible says in verse number 9, in like manner, so with the same regard for God and the same regard for God's house, Paul takes time and looks at the women within the church. Look what the Bible says in verse number 9. The Bible says in verse 9, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." Let's take some time and let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its light for our life. And Lord, as we come together tonight in the midst of a very dark world and busy world, Lord, and we focus upon you, Lord, I pray you would help us all, myself and everyone here, to take some time and to focus in what you have for us, to look at your word and to learn and to grow. I pray you would give us direction. I pray, Lord, that you would be pleased in our response to your word. I thank you again for the truth that you have given to us in our hands, the responsibility that we have to love it and learn it and live it. Again, we pray your blessing upon our time together tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name, amen. So, in this passage of Scripture, we have some important truths for the context of the local church, where Paul spends time looking at public prayer. Now he's looking at the public service, the gathering together of the assembly. And right off the bat, here the Spirit of God teaches us that a woman should not be immodest. In fact, the words here is that they are to adorn themselves with modest apparel. Now, the word translated adorn primarily means to arrange or to put in order. In fact, our English word cosmetic is where we get from this Greek word. Cosmeto is the actual Greek word, and that's the thought of it, to arrange or to put in order. The corresponding noun that is used, modest, refers to a harmonious arrangement of things, and came to signify really the creation of the world and the universe as divinely set in order. And so here the word modest has the meaning of orderly or well arranged. And so Paul conveys here to the church, to Timothy specifically, which is to give this to the church, that first of all, the Christian woman is to dress and to behave modestly. Now, we're going to look at that in just a moment. She is to dress and adorn herself with shamefacedness, is the word that our Bible uses. And the thought there is to be somewhat reserved. She is to dress or to adorn herself with sobriety. The word sobriety means to be appropriate, to be controlled, to be calm. And the Christian woman is not to dress to attract attention to herself. Now, here's what the Bible teaches us. It says, not with braided hair or broided hair, not with gold or with pearls. The Bible teaches us that that a Christian woman is to dress in a way that doesn't attract attention to herself, but to the Lord. Now, I think we can all agree that the world dresses in a way that says, look at me. That's what the world wants, and that's how the world dresses. Someone said this, a woman's mind is mirrored by her dress. A Christian woman is to dress differently than a man. Dress differently than the world. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and turn to verse number 1. And I want you to look at what Peter has to say. Really the same thought here in this passage of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. A Christian woman is to be different and look different than the world. The world dresses in a way that says, look at me. Now, notice what Peter has to say. Now, the context here is he's writing to a woman whose husband is not saved. And he's writing to this this woman, that she would be different because her husband doesn't believe the Bible and doesn't live according to the Bible, but by the way the woman lives, it's an opportunity for the husband, the unbelieving husband, to be saved. That's the context. He says in verse number 1, chapter 3, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection into your own husbands, that if any man, that if any obey not the word," that's speaking of the word of God, and that's talking about the husband, "they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife." So though they don't believe the word of God, though they don't follow the word of God, though they don't have the word of God, the way that the woman lives is the Bible to him. All right? It's right there in the text. So he says in verse number 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it be not that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. So same idea as what Paul is saying to Timothy writing to the church at Ephesus. And verse 4 he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. So a Christian woman's desire, according to the Bible, now remember, take me out of the equation because this is not my opinion, this is what God is saying. The Bible teaches a Christian woman's desire is not, should not be look at me, but look at Christ. All right, that's what the Bible is saying in this text. The hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, ought to be the most attractive part of a woman's life. Do you understand what the Bible is teaching? The hidden man of the heart ought to be the most attractive part of a woman's life. In other words, the world says, look at my physical appearance. That's how the world lives. That's how the world dresses. That's how Hollywood is always portrayed. That's what the world says. But in a renewed mind, in a Christian attitude ought to be, look at my spiritual attribute. Look at Christ in me, the hope of glory. And the Bible says that the hidden man of the heart, which to God is a great price, which is not corruptible, even this ornament. So we talk about, you know, a woman that is dressing for outward appearance, this ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. So in other words, we have a someone who is controlled and someone who is reflecting Christ in their life, then this is what the Bible says ought to be the focus of each Christian lady. Now let's go back to our text, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, in like a manner also, the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or apparels or costly array. But verse 10, so he exactly what Peter is saying, he comes back to this, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. This is a thought. Someone had this to say. It is not appropriate for women who profess to be the followers of the Savior to seek to be distinguished for personal external decorations. If they are Christians, they have seen the vanity of these things and have fixed the heart on more sustainable realities. They are professed followers of Him who went about doing good, and the performance of good works especially becomes them. In other words, they want Christ to be seen in their life. They profess to affix the affections on God, their Savior, and to be living for heaven. It is not becoming in them to seek those ornaments as would indicate that the heart is supremely attached to worldly things. So I think what the Bible is teaching us in this passage of Scripture is that a woman is to dress and a woman is to live and to act that Christ can be seen in her life. And this, by the way, this is not just for women, this is for all of us. So we all can learn. Men, we can learn from this as well. You know, Paul said that they glorified God in me, and that ought to be our desire. But within the context of the church here, we see that Christ ought to be seen, that they ought to live their life as profess godliness. And we are in women, they are to radiate the love of God and Christ in their heart. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. So, first of all, we find in verse 11 and 12, I think the Bible is very clear that a woman should not be a preacher. I think the Bible is very clear in this teaching that a woman is not to have spiritual authority within the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said this, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, I heard one person, I'm not sure if he was a preacher, but I heard that his belief was that when a woman steps into the church, she's not to say a word until she steps out of the church. Now, that's not what the Bible is saying. The context of this passage of Scripture is spiritual leadership within the church and teaching spiritual things within the congregation here. And the Bible says here that the woman is to keep silent. Obviously, we're talking about a woman with spiritual leadership within the church. He says in verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man, to take the role that has been given to a man, but to keep in silence," is the thought in this passage. Now, God gives to us two reasons why this is his plan. By the way, God doesn't have to give reasons, but he does. And he tells why this is his plan. Number one, we see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve." So this is the reason, the first reason that the Spirit of God gives to us and why a woman is not to have spiritual leadership within the church. "For Adam was first formed, then Eve." Now this is not merely about the order of creation. If that was true, then every older person would have authority over every younger person. And if that was true, then there are people who are men that are older than me that are here that are very capable, that they should be preaching and not me. And we understand that God calls a man and God leads a man to the church, and that's pastoral authority. God brought me here over 10 years ago, and we understand that. So the Bible is not teaching just order of creation. So what is the thought in this passage of Scripture? Well, Adam was created first by God. Eve was formed second out of Adam's rib. Adam was created by God to reign. Eve was created as a companion. Now, all of these do not denote importance. Adam is not more important than Eve because he was created to reign, and Eve was created as a helpmeet. This doesn't speak of importance. Listen, stop listening to the world and letting the world try to tell you what God is trying to say. God is not saying this at all, and I can prove it in just a moment. But this is talking about God's plan. God has a plan. Remember, to God, everything is to be decently and in order. We serve a God of order. We serve a God of order. And that's why it doesn't even make sense for God, even if you think about theistic evolution, where God was involved in a big bang, that God made the big bang and everything is in existence. Listen, God is not a God of disorder. God is a God of order. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is a God of order. Now, God has order in the home, and God has order within the church. And this speaks of roles. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 3, the Bible says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the women of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Even within the Godhead, there is role and responsibility. There is order, because God is a God of order. God the Father sent his Son. God was glorified in his Son coming to the world. Jesus glorified his Father. The Holy Spirit spoke those things which glorified Jesus Christ. He testified of Jesus Christ. So even within the Godhead, there is role and responsibility, and there is order. Now, the Bible says that the head of Christ is God, God the Father. Now, does that mean that God the Father is greater than God the Son? No, they are equally God. They are equally important. They are the Godhead. Therefore, the man is not better than the woman. No, they just have different roles and responsibilities. Again, stop listening to the world and letting the world tell us what God means. God knows what he wrote. He wrote what he meant. And there's truth here. God has roles and responsibilities. So God has a plan. God created man with a purpose. God created woman with a purpose. Number two, look what it says in verse 14. "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." So the most important spiritual position that Eve was placed in, when Eve took headship, we see that the woman was deceived. Now, Satan had aimed temptation at Eve's head. She was deceived. Satan aimed temptation toward Adam's heart. You know, the devil did not tempt Adam directly. He let Eve do it. The Bible says in Genesis 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. By the way, in Genesis 3, 6, we have the very definition of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. She saw that it was good for food. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. It was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. Pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof, she did eat. She gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She assumed the leadership role in Adam's disobedience.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.